Hello, and welcome to Academy Conversations Uncut, a podcast of rare Q&As with the world's foremost filmmakers, hosted by the Academy and released for the first time to the public, unedited. Today's panel was recorded in November 2018 at the Samuel Goldwyn Theater in Beverly Hills, California, discussing the Academy Award-winning movie, Roma, a semi-autobiographical drama about a fracturing middle-class family in 1970s Mexico City. We were joined by writer, director, producer, cinematographer, and co-editor Alfonso Cuarón, production designer Eugenio Caballero, producer Gabriela Rodriguez, re-recording mixer Skip Levesay, and actors Marina de Tavira and Yalitza Aparicio. The panel was hosted by John Horn. Here's John.
Good afternoon, good evening. I'm John Horn, host of The Frame on KPCC. Thank you all for coming out. We have a big panel, so I want to get everybody up here. Writer, director, producer, cinematographer, co-editor, Alfonso Cuarón. Production designer, Eugenio Caballero. Producer, Gabriela Rodriguez. Re-recording mixer, Skip Levesay. Actor, Marina de Tavira. Actor, Yalitza Aparicio. And Gabriela Murga will be doing translation for Yalitza. Alfonso, obviously this period in your life affected who you are as a person. How did this period in your life affect you as an artist?
Well, I guess that every period in your life affects you as an artist, as any other thing. But definitely after this period of my life, I became, it was a period of that I was very Well, I was very lonely. Mm-hmm. I retreated. I didn't really have many friends. And yes, informed a lot in my life because my refuge was going to the movies. Hmm. You know, my refuge was cinema.
When you are thinking about this period in your life, you have your memories, you have your assumptions about your memories, and then you have the things that you don't know that start to change your memories. When you're revisiting this period in your life, what surprised you most about what you didn't remember as well as you thought you might have, or you didn't know that you wish you had?
No, what is amazing is how once that you access one memory, is opening this door that leads into this corridor, endless corridor with doors. And each door is another memory. And then you keep on just opening memories. What I was surprised is how it was like a chain reaction in which just accessing one memory and more memories start coming out. And then contrasting those memories with my sister, with Libo, who's a real person, who's the character of Cleo is based upon, then it would inform more, or with Eugenio looking for locations and finding and saying, oh, Eugenio, that's the tile. Mm. And that tile immediately opening like 50 doors, you know? So memory is funny like that. and by the way, who knows if those are real memories?
Right.
We'll never know.
Right. Eugenio, you're charged with recreating something that Alfonso knows very well, and he's very specific in what those things have to be in terms of furniture, in terms of tile. How much of your job was digging into Alfonso's memory, and how much of it was trying to find those things in real life so that they matched his memory?
Well, it was a combination of things. First of all, it started with a lot of descriptions, a lot of chats that Alfonso and me had. He was telling very specifically certain things that he remembered. How was the house, for example, or how was certain street, or what would the family would do in a certain period, you know, like probably having dinner, or what would they eat. But That, for me, was a great starting point. We basically dig into some real furniture of the Cuarón's family. We basically, it was all dispersed, how you say that? Like
the furniture diaspora throughout Mexico, right?
Yes. So basically we took some of it, we recreate some of them. But also we did historical research. We wanted to be very specific and accurate about that. So that was also another, that also opened that door of my own memory as well. You know, I grew up in the same neighborhood that Alfonso some years later. So he was a lot of years later. But not that many. But really, there was a lot of a big emotional connection to all of these things. So then we started to look for the city that we wanted to recreate, a city that we found after we started scouting and that it was lost. So we had to really recreate a lot of the things that you see in the screen, building big sets of the main streets and completing it digitally. Yes.
When you recreate the house, and by the end of the film, I think as audience members, we know every corner of that house and where everything is going to be. And then you show it to Alfonso for the first time. Do you remember that day, Alfonso and Eugenio, when you walked onto that set and saw your house remade?
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember that it was not... I remember many moments. One of it was when we found a location and we said, this place have good bones so we can really transform it. And that day we sat for hours saying, well, we're going to reinforce this thing and take out this wall. And we talked about the color of the house. We talked about the elements that the house has to have. So that was a very important emotional moment for me. You know, like it was basically having this incredible man that I always admire seated with me, talking to me about his past, about his house. So that was great. And then we had a lot of visits during the construction period. But once we start putting the details, the set decoration details, I think that was a beautiful moment in which Alfonso said, well, maybe it's too much. We're lacking things here. You know, what do you think? And it was a constant dialogue. It was a beautiful process.
Yeah, I mean, and what informed a little bit Eugenio was that the original house that we tried to, because we tried to shoot as much as possible in the places where the action took place. But the original house was so modernized. But the great thing is that when we went to visit, Eugenio had a sense of the spaces, but also the dimension. He took measurements of absolutely everything. And we were lucky that the metal work, doors, stairs, and so on, were still intact. And so, and some tiles, right? That were there, the one
yes,
bathroom.
Yeah. That we took as reference, and then we made them, you know, we had to find an old artisan that was making tiles just to recreate everything that we needed. So it was a little bit like an archaeological process too. You know?
Gabriela, you're not just...
Okay, yes, I was the oldest one in the set. He was the second oldest, okay? So don't get like, yeah.
Gabriela, you're not just revisiting Alfonso's personal history, you're revisiting a part of Mexico's history and what's happening with the Institutional Revolutionary Party, or PRI at the time. How important was it to Alfonso that you're not just getting his history right, but you're getting Mexican history right and what's happening with students and protests and massacres at this time in Mexican history?
It was very important, as Eugenio was saying just now, about recreating everything in an archaeological sort of process. That really was the way we did this. We had a very long pre-production where we spent a lot of the time doing tons of research in order to accurately be able to portray the scenes that you see in the film. And I'm not Mexican, I'm Venezuelan, and I'm much, much younger than the two of them. And so I did not live that time period in Mexico. But through that research, we were all informed of how to accurately represent those events. And also, as you see in the film, there's a lot of a political context all around. And that was very present during that time in Mexico City. So Alfonso was adamant that he wanted that represented there. So in this effort of not only digging into Alfonso's memories, we also dug into sort of those important Mexico City moments to capture them in the film.
Skip, I want to ask you about one scene in particular, and that's the scene in the ocean. The sound design for that scene. I mean, this is a film without any score. So there's no score in this film. That your sound design is the score. But I want to ask particular about that scene, because the sound of that scene is phenomenal. Could you talk about your conversations with Alfonso and what your orders were and how you ended up fulfilling those orders with the sound design that you came up with?
Well, in essence, we had the same charge to try to recreate a memory and a history, which I happen to be familiar with myself. I think I'm a little older than you, but maybe a few days. But I had a similar situation in my own childhood, and the ocean was a big thing in my childhood. And so I kind of I cheated a bit, because rather than to cue into Alfonso's memories, I had my own. And luckily they were similar. So Alfonso said from the very beginning, what we want to do is create something like we did in Gravity, where we want these sounds to be surreal and super real and go beyond just what's being represented. Well, of course, what was being represented kept changing, but it got more and more ominous and terrifying, and that was our main goal, was to bridge reality and the memory of that, our own personal memory of what it's like to drown in the ocean and what it might be like, and then the heightened reality of what we're seeing on film, which helps the audience, gives the audience access to what this situation could be.
Marina, one of the things that Alfonso did on this film is he shot absolutely in sequence, chronologically, and that he protected the script so that the actors didn't know what they would be doing till the day of a particular scene.
Nor the crew.
Thank you.
So what does that create for you as an actor when you don't know what's going to happen to your character in a given day? And can you think of a scene where you as a performer are almost in real time living the life of the character, that you're almost experiencing it as the cameras are filming it?
Yes, well, that's the way we did it. And I think it was really a really beautiful gift for an actor, because it really helped us to live the experience as a real life experience. We would know every day what would happen to our characters, and we will be understanding the journey of all the family day by day. And I think this really helped not to be anticipating anything, not to be preconceiving, and just like surrender to the story, to the characters, and to the world that was being there. We really immersed in a real life experience.
I want to ask you about the scene where you tell your children that your marriage is ending, because even though we don't see one of the kids crying, we know that he is. Is he reacting almost as if he's in the story himself?
Of course. I mean, I wasn't expecting that reaction. Maybe nobody was, or maybe they were. Because I think secretly you knew that this could happen when he learned that what was going to happen to his family, because of the way we filmed, the kids and everybody were so involved in the family and in the story. So when they learned that that dad was not coming back. I mean, that really happened there. And it was like, I really wanted just to get up and hold him. But I had to end the scene and I had to say all the things I needed to say to them. And also Alfonso worked with me a lot about the way mothers swallow their pain and they don't want, they can't show it because they have to get the family together and be strong and keep the feelings down and the joy up.
Jalitza, there would be no movie that we just saw without you. And I suspect Alfonso has told you that, right? I want to ask you about Libo and about meeting with her and her story and finding from her what you thought was important as an actor, even though you've never acted before this film. What was Libo telling you and what were you taking away from your conversations with her so that you could honor who she was as an actor?
Bueno, afortunadamente tuve la dicha de platicar con ella antes de empezar con la película. En esta reunión me habló sobre su historia, cómo salió de su comunidad, cómo llegó a la ciudad, cuál era la relación que tenía con la familia y los problemas por los que atravesó en tantos económicos y todo en su pasado. Esto me identificó un poco con ella. Igual, el darme cuenta que es una mujer con un corazón enorme y una bondad que desde que la ves te das cuenta. Y en un principio me provocó como ese temor de no poder representar a una gran mujer, de no hacerle este honor. Y después las palabras que ella me daba en esta plática como tranquilizándome, pues fue lo que igual me convenció de entregar mi corazón en esta película, al igual que ella ha dado su corazón a su familia.
Fortunately, I was able to talk to her before we started shooting the film. And she told me lots of things about her own story, her history, like when she left her own community, when she arrived to the city, the relationship she had with the family, the problems she went through. These were economic problems as well as others. And all this, she said, I identified with. And I also realized the minute I saw her, how big her heart was and how kind she was. That was immediate. Immediately, you knew. And I was worried not to be able to honor her enough with my performance. But she was very kind, and the words she told me were the ones that gave me peace of mind, and actually the ones that convinced me to then go out there and pour out my own heart in this film as she poured out her heart with this family.
Alfonso and Jalitza, I'm going to ask you about the first time that you met, either maybe in person or through a videotaped interview. Alfonso, what were you looking for, and why was Jalitza the perfect person?
Well, I was looking for Libo. I was looking for, well, it was the case for all the actors, and that was the challenge for the casting director. It was, they need to find actors that would be as look-alike as possible to the original people, but also to feel the same as the original people, the same sensibility. And it was months and months of casting until, and then we have armies of casting crews through the different states in Mexico, particularly the southern states, because Libo is from Oaxaca. And in one town in Oaxaca, in one village called Tlaxiaco is where we were so fortunate to meet with Yalitza. And you know, when I saw the video, the thing is, I was so used to start seeing people that look alike, but they didn't feel like. And there was something immediately that there was, I think it had to do with her smile. And I immediately wanted to meet with her. And we asked her if she could come to Mexico City. When she walked into the place and started talking to her, because it was just like weeks before we started shooting, and I was anxious that I was not finding Cleo. I felt in one hand so excited and relieved that I had found Cleo, and then terrified that she would say that she was not interested, as she was not. So, but this is more interesting, the story of Yalitza, of her point of view, I think is more interesting.
Pues cuando conocí a Alfonso, no sabía quién era. Así que, pues las indicaciones que me dio durante esa prueba, pues las hice. Igual iba yo como con esa seguridad que estaba mi mamá afuera y estaba más tranquila. Cuando me vuelven a hablar y él me hace la invitación para formar parte de esta película, se encontraba también Marina. Y mi respuesta fue que pues no estaba yo haciendo nada y que sí, porque él había preguntado que si teníamos como la disposición de hacer la película. Creo que era más ese entusiasmo de querer saber cómo se hacía una película, aunque también estaba como ese miedo de que no conocía a lo que me iba a enfrentar, pero pues así fue como pasó y acepté y después solamente me dejé llevar por cómo se iba grabando esta película.
Gracias. Well, when I met Alfonso, I didn't know who he was. So I just followed his instructions, and I felt peace of mind because at that point, in that particular of last casting, my mother was outside. So I was calm. After that, there was another time that we reunited. That was when he invited us, Marina was there, to work in the film. And he asked us if we were willing to do it. And I answered, well, I'm doing nothing right now, so I'll say yes. Honestly, I felt more enthusiastic about knowing how films were actually done. But at the same time, I felt scared because I didn't know what I was going to face. But anyways, I accepted this was the way it happened. And once we started shooting, I only like went with the flow and accepted all the instructions.
Alfonso, let me ask you this last question. This is a period film that's obviously very personal to you, but it's also coming out at a time when there's a lot of talk about our neighbors to the south. There are people who are fleeing war and poverty and other horrible things, trying to make their way to the United States, and they're being demonized. What do you hope people talk about after seeing this film, as simple as the people who look after their children, or as complicated as our neighbors to the south and what they're going through right now?
Yeah, it's very concerning, all the speech and all this this ideology of hate and exclusion, you know, in which compassion, empathy, and justice is seen as the right of a specific groups of people, you know, and when the truth of the matter is that the human experience is one and the same. You know, we all share a common memory. And for me, this has been proven with comments from people around the world that have watched the film. You know, people two or three nights ago, it was shown in the Tokyo Film Festival. And they start sending me, a friend who was there, start sending me tweets, translated tweets from from the Japanese audience, and so many would talk about their own experience. You know, and this is the amazing thing of humanity, is that we are one and the same. The colors is what it creates, and these colors and diversity is what creates the greatness, you know, and also is what makes societies and culture move forward. And I just hope that, if anything, in these times, the film is kind of a link of empathy to remind that, you know, like this experience is not different than any, and your own experience is not different than anybody else's.
Alfonso, thank you so much. Eugenio, Gabriella, Skip, Marina, Yalitza, and Gabriella, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Academy Conversations Uncut. We hope you enjoyed this unique access to a members-only Q&A at the Academy. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and help us reach film lovers around the world. This podcast was produced by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.